Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wish again to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That is a 50,000-watt station that we are quite happy to have in partnership with us as we move forward in the days ahead. We've been talking about a series of news articles this morning related to international and domestic policy, and whether or not we're going to have a republic or an empire in the United States, and whether or not the U.S. can continue to survive what has basically been happening in these last 5 or 6 years as we deal with these staggering economic statistics in regard to the national debt of this country, the foreign trade deficits, and a war of imperial expansion that arguably is producing, in the case of this country, a historical epoch that's very similar to what basically happened in the ancient Roman Empire. The figures are absolutely beyond my comprehension, by the way, you know, to think about the fact that we were talking in March of 2003, according to Mr. Wolfowitz and some of Mr. Bush's other advisors, about being able to do this war in Iraq, including wrapping up the occupation for $50 billion. Folks, depending on whose statistics you're looking at, we're at somewhere between 400 and 500 billion, even as I speak. And Mr. Bush, according to the Wall Street Journal, is talking about another $100 billion this year and $145 billion next year. That's even aside from the whole issue of whether or not we go to war with Iran. So when you look at the consequences of all of this, just on the economic basis alone, it puts into perspective that this is a draconian situation in which we find ourselves, and there's really no way of telling exactly what the end game's going to be, but suffice it to say that when we look at Paul Craig Roberts' piece this morning, The World Can Halt Bush's Crimes by Dumping the Dollar, it seems to suggest that these kinds of actions on the part of the Asian central bankers may be the only thing that stands in Mr. Bush's way in regard to doing this preemptive military thing with Iran. Largely, I would argue, on the basis of the influence and control of the Israeli lobby, but that's certainly something that's up for debate as we discuss all of this. But Chalmers Johnson today, who, of course, was involved in these national intelligence estimate programs in the late 1960s and early 1970s with the Central Intelligence Agency, is telling us today that there are four things that are absolutely clear about the directions that the so-called American empire is going in. One is military Keynesianism, where you have a domestic economy that requires sustained military ambition in order to avoid recession or collapse. He speaks of the unitary presidency. Sustained military ambition is inherently anti-Republican, quoting Chalmers Johnson here, and that it tends to concentrate power in the executive branch. In the U.S., President George Bush subscribes to an esoteric interpretation of the Constitution called the theory of the unitary executive, which holds in effect that the president has the authority to ignore the separation of powers written into the Constitution, creating a feedback loop in which permanent war and the unitary presidency are mutually reinforcing. He then mentions failed checks on executive ambition. The U.S. legislature and judiciary, according to Chalmers Johnson, appear to be incapable of restraining the president and therefore restraining imperial ambition. And then he talks about bankruptcy and collapse, confronted by the limits of its own vast but nonetheless finite financial resources and lacking the political check on spending provided by a functioning democracy. The U.S. will, within a very short time, face financial or even political collapse at home and a significantly diminished ability to project force abroad. We'll be back with this Chalmers Johnson article. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, wanted to greet our new affiliate today. That is WMQM-AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station. They will be carrying this show throughout the American South, I trust, in the days that are ahead. And we've got some interesting guests lined up for you later on this week. Michael Perutka, the Constitution Party, is going to be on tomorrow from 9 to 10 o'clock Central Standard Time, talking about his presidential candidacy in 2004 as the standard bearer of the Constitution Party and what he's up to now and in the future in regard to his political activities. And then Thursday on this show, Robert A. Sungainas of Catholics International is going to be discussing all kinds of things related to foreign policy, domestic policy, the whole issue of the Israeli lobby, and this whole business of getting into some of the specifics of Pharisaic Judaism, talking about some things related to the Jewish Kabbalah and the Jewish Zohar that are not generally known by folks in the American public that are going to come out on that show between 8 and 9 a.m. Central Standard Time on Thursday. And Dr. Sungainis will then be followed by Alan Quist on Thursday, who from 9 to 10 a.m. that morning is going to be talking about educational policy, both in the state of Minnesota as well as nationally, in regard to this whole issue of the state takeover of education and the way in which the globalists have infiltrated the American educational system for some very specific purposes. That, again, will be Alan Quist on Thursday the 15th. Getting back then to this whole business of Chalmers Johnson today, he was on the show on Friday, and this piece in Harper's where he talks about a so-called national intelligence estimate on the United States. For people just picking up the show here as of the top of this hour, going back into the beginnings of the Chalmers Johnson article in Harper's, he talked about military Keynesianism and the whole relationship between the military-industrial complex and the domestic economy in a system of this type where the domestic economy begins to require sustained military ambition in order to avoid recession or collapse. I think at this particular juncture, it's probably appropriate to bring into play what Dr. Richard Cummings has indicated in his recent piece entitled Lockheed Stock in Two Smoking Barrels. You can still find that particular piece on the front page of Breaking All the Rules News at batr.org/batrnews. But suffice it to say that Cummings provides specific data that I think corroborates Chalmers Johnson at this point in regard to the way in which military contractors and the military-industrial complex generally are a driving force in the economic and political considerations that go into an empire's decision to go to war. This is the real source, it seems to me, that we need to take a look at when we start talking about the way in which our foreign policy and our domestic policy are driven by economic and political forces that are not bound by the chains of the Constitution, it seems. And when I have Michael Perutka on this show tomorrow, I'm going to be making reference to some of these things in the Chalmers Johnson piece, some of the things that are in the Richard Cummings piece entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, and say, okay, Michael, how do we come up with a defense posture that is bound by the chains of the Constitution and that reflects an American republic and not an American empire? That's just one of the things we'll be taking up with Michael Perutka tomorrow. But again, looking at Chalmers Johnson this morning, or going back to the Dr. Richard Cummings piece, and then Paul Craig Roberts' discussion today, in Lou Rockwell, in regard to the dumping of the American dollar on the part of Asian banks is the only way of stopping this war. All of this comes together in terms of a picture that every political candidate, it seems to me, should be required to address and to address publicly. And quite clearly, this goes back to something that we talked about in recent days on the show. When you look at the transcript of Hillary Clinton's remarks before the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, and look at the recent statements made on that same subject by John McCain and Barack Obama, made by John Edwards and a series of other American presidential wannabes, it becomes increasingly clear that nobody that I see, with the exception of Congressman Ron Paul, is on the right page on these issues, who is presently thought to be an American presidential contender. Ron Paul is the only horse that is out there, if you believe in liberty, if you believe in freedom, and are yet participating in the American electoral process as that is presently constituted. He's the only horse to ride, folks. And so if you are going to vote, if you are going to participate in the elections in 2008, get on with the Ron Paul thing right now, because that's the only option that I see that is at all viable for paleocons and for libertarians who are interested in this whole dissolution of the American republic in the interest of empire. As we talked this morning about this Chalmers Johnson piece, something else comes to mind. We had Dr. Jacob Hornberger of the Future of Freedom Foundation on Mark Dankos America some weeks ago. Dr. Hornberger has a conference coming up, which he made reference to at the time on this show, and it occurs to me that I need to mention it again. If you go to FFF.org, that's FFF.org, FFF.org, you'll find the Future of Freedom Foundation, and you will discover that in Fairfax, Virginia, this coming June, from June 1st through June 4th, there is a special conference being sponsored by the Future of Freedom Foundation, where a series of speakers will examine American foreign policy and discuss the links between that foreign policy and the destruction of our Constitution and the destruction of the civil liberties of every American across the political spectrum. That Future of Freedom Foundation conference is one that I'm not likely to attend in the first few days in June, only because I have other responsibilities and commitments. But if you're not busy, and that's kind of a joke, isn't it, because virtually everyone out there is busy to the hilt, but if you possibly have the time, maybe that's a better way of putting it, to attend this conference in Fairfax, Virginia, I am confident that you will not be disappointed in regard to all of the data that's going to come forth at that meeting from a variety of incredible speakers that are going to underscore what's happening to this country, what's happening to the old republic, what it means for you and for your family members, what you can do about it. I understand that there are going to be some very practical suggestions at this conference in regard to what we do at this particular juncture in time, in regard to acting upon the information that we have. That's going to be the Future of Freedom Foundation Conference, June 1st through June 4th, up there in Fairfax, Virginia. Again, I get no commission for saying this. I think Dr. Jacob Hornberger's conference is one that will be well worth your time, particularly in regard to the consideration of the kinds of things that we're talking about this morning with Chalmers Johnson's piece at Harper's and with what Paul Craig Roberts has posted today at Lou Rockwell. Again, getting back to the Chalmers Johnson piece, he said exactly in Harper's what he said on Friday on this show, and that is that you cannot have a republic and an empire. You've got to have one or the other. Rome attempted to keep its empire and lost its democracy. Britain chose to remain democratic and in the process let go of its empire. That was a point, again, made on this show Friday. Chalmers Johnson repeats that and hits it very hard in Harper's today. Then he goes on to discuss military Keynesianism. That portion of his article, talking about the expense of these military projects and the flow of the nation's wealth from taxpayers and foreign lenders through the government to military contractors, is absolutely critical to our understanding of what is going on with this Bush-Cheney foreign policy in the Middle East and elsewhere. That, in turn, dovetails with Dr. Richard Cummings' article, Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. If you put Chalmers Johnson and Paul Craig Roberts and Dr. Richard Cummings alongside one another and read the respective arguments that they make, there is a clear picture that emerges here, and one that we need to be aware of as we try to protect our family members and friends and closest associates in the days ahead from what's going on with this and what will most likely be an expansion of this military conflict in the Middle East to Iran in coming weeks, probably by the end of the spring. Chalmers Johnson then goes on to talk about the unitary presidency. Sustained military ambition is inherently anti-Republican, he says, in that it tends to concentrate power in the executive branch. He then goes on to talk about the way in which George Bush believes that he has the authority to ignore the separation of powers written into the Constitution, creating a feedback loop, according to Chalmers Johnson, in which permanent war and the unitary presidency are mutually reinforcing. When you go down the page in this article to discuss some of the specifics of that particular point in the piece, he makes it very clear, Dr. Johnson does, that military Keynesianism may be economic development by other means, but it does very often lead to real war, or if not real war, then a significantly warlike political environment. We will get back to that point in his piece when Mark Dankoff's America returns live, coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can give me a call at 1-800-313-9443. And stay tuned.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097 or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
We're back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Again, we would like to greet our new affiliate, WMQM AM 1600 in Memphis, Tennessee. That's a 50,000-watt station that will be bringing Mark Dankos, America, and the Republic Broadcasting Network into an entirely new set of homes in coming days, we trust, not simply in the greater Memphis area, but also throughout the American South. We've been talking this morning about a series of news articles that relate to what I think is the issue of the day. The issue is war. The issue is war, not just the Iraq war, but the issue of whether or not the United States should attack Iran and attack Iran with tactical nuclear weapons in isolation from the participation of the Israeli Defense Forces or in conjunction with it. Quite clearly, I think there are a series of reasons why that's a horribly wrong policy. We can't possibly cover all of that this morning. But at the same time, in looking at Chalmers Johnson's piece today and several of the other things that occur on the World Wide Web, I would point you to Paul Craig Roberts once more, The World Can Halt Bush's Crimes by Dumping the Dollar. You can find that one at lourockwell.com. Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's piece for globalresearch.ca entitled The Criminalization of U.S. Foreign Policy. Dr. Chosadovsky was on this show some days ago, I think it was the 16th of January, talking about the kinds of things that we can expect by the end of the spring in all likelihood in regard to Iran and to an American preemptive war against Iran. Patrick Cockburn has a piece for the British Independent today entitled Target Tehran. That is particularly important as a grid through which we need to see the larger meaning of these American news reports about the linkage on the part of the U.S. government of Iran to some of these counterinsurgency activities and insurgency activities going on in Iraq. Again, that's Patrick Cockburn, Target Tehran at the British Independent Online today. And then we come back to Chalmers Johnson, this whole issue of whether or not we have a republic or an empire. He was on this show on Friday talking about Imperial Rome and the British Empire and the two models there in juxtaposition with one another in regard to choosing either empire or democracy, as he puts it. He argues that Imperial Rome chose empire, the British jettisoned empire in the favor of returning to a so-called democracy. Whether you believe in that thesis or not, or his particular definitions of what constitutes democracy and empire, the point is that I think the United States is quite clearly going down the Roman model as we look at the points that are raised in this Chalmers Johnson article this morning. We've talked a little bit about military Keynesianism. I would read Chalmers Johnson's article in conjunction with Dr. Richard Cummings at that point in his post for Playboy magazine entitled Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels. That's available on the World Wide Web. It provides the specific data about the Lockheed Corporation and their role in Iraq war policy prior to entering that conflict as well as presently. That will simply give you additional data to underscore what Chalmers Johnson is talking about in Harper's today. We then come to the notions of a unitary presidency, failed checks on executive ambition, and the whole issue of bankruptcy and collapse. Going down to this business of the unitary presidency, as Chalmers Johnson sees it, he says that American presidents know that military Keynesianism tends to concentrate power in the executive branch. And so presidents who seek greater power have a natural inducement to encourage further growth of the military-industrial complex. As the phenomena feed on each other, the usual outcome is a real war, based not on the needs of national defense, underscoring Chalmers Johnson's words here at this point, based not on the needs of national defense, but rather on the domestic political logic of military Keynesianism. As U.S. Senate Robert La Follette Sr. observed, in times of peace, the war party insists on making preparation for war. As soon as prepared for war, it insists on making war, unquote. Chalmers Johnson goes on using that La Follette quotation to say that George W. Bush has taken this natural political phenomenon to an extreme never before experienced by the American electorate. Every president has sought greater authority, but Bush, whose father lost his position as 41st president in a fair and open election, appears to believe that increasing presidential authority is both a birthright and a central component of his historical legacy. He is supported in this belief by his vice president and chief advisor, Dick Cheney. In pursuit of more power, Bush and Cheney have unilaterally authorized preventive war against nations they designate as needing regime change, quote-unquote, directed American soldiers to torture persons that they have seized and imprisoned in various countries, ordered the National Security Agency to carry out illegal data mining surveillance of the American people, and done everything they could to prevent Congress from outlawing torture. We'll be back. This is Mark Gankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Check out Chalmers Johnson this morning in his piece at harpers.org. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I've been talking today about news articles that relate to what I think is the key issue of the day, the war, and whether or not we are about to embark on an action against Iran that would almost certainly result in the development of a full-blown Third World War, in my view. You can watch that story very closely in the days ahead. And Paul Craig Roberts' post today, "The World Can Halt Bush's Crimes by Dumping the Dollar," is again worth your time at lewrockwell.com. Dr. Michael Chosadovsky's piece at globalresearch.ca entitled "The Criminalization of U.S. Foreign Policy" is something that needs to be added to the mix. going back a number of days ago. Take a look at Dr. Richard Cummings and his article, Lockheed Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, which gets into some of the specifics of the Lockheed Corporation's role in the Iraq War and in Iraq war policy. Patrick Cockburn's piece today at the Independent Online in Britain entitled Target Tehran is another one to check off in your reading list. And then we're back to Chalmers Johnson again, who was on this show on Friday. He, from 1968 to 1972, was a consultant to the National Intelligence Estimates Procedures for the Central Intelligence Agency. He, for 30 years, has been a professor of political science and East Asian affairs at the University of California, both in San Diego and in Berkeley, and is the author of a new book that I have not read yet. I have read the Los Angeles Times review of that book, which is also worth your time. And the title of that book by Chalmers Johnson is Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. If you look at the L.A. Times piece, it's an excellent one and will make for good reading in conjunction with the Harper's article that I'm talking about today, where Chalmers Johnson at Harper's is talking about a national intelligence estimate on the United States. And again, he talked about military Keynesianism, a unitary presidency, the failure to check the ambitions of the executive branch of government, and then finally bankruptcy and national collapse. These are the stages and the components of this process, according to Chalmers Johnson, and quite clearly he believes that these are the issues we're fighting right now in regard to the Bush regime and the whole issue of the influence of the Jewish lobby and the American neoconservatives in regard to war and debt and a national police state all working in tandem with one another to bring something to the fore that will make America unrecognizable in terms of what those of you old enough to remember as the older republic can compare all of this with. So Chalmers Johnson goes on then to say that in pursuit of more power, Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney have unilaterally authorized preventive war against nations they designate as needing regime change. They have directed American soldiers to torture persons they have seized and imprisoned in various countries. They have ordered the National Security Agency to carry out illegal data mining surveillance of the American people and have done everything they could to prevent Congress from, quote, outlawing cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment of people detained by the United States. Each of these actions has been undertaken for specific ideological, tactical, or practical reasons, but also as part of a general campaign of power concentration. And, you know, it's interesting as I read through this Chalmers Johnson piece with you this morning, I'm reminded that this is Lincoln's birthday, folks, the 12th of February. That's either, depending on your point of view, a time of celebration or a time of mourning. But in conjunction with this whole issue of power concentration that Chalmers Johnson is just starting to get into in this piece today for Harper's, compare that with what Thomas DiLorenzo says about Abraham Lincoln in his book, The Real Lincoln, and in his sequel to that first book. Who was Abraham Lincoln? He was, according to Thomas DiLorenzo, and most Southern traditionalist scholars, a person who was the great centralizer. Lincoln was the prototype of all of the presidencies that followed that were primarily interested in centralizing power and utilizing centralized power in an unconstitutional fashion. So when you look at Abe Lincoln and then think of Woodrow Wilson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt and George W. Bush, you see the lineage here and the historical and ideological connection that these various individuals have since the time of the American War, war between the states. But in the case of George Bush and Dick Cheney, Chalmers Johnson says today at Harper's that quite clearly these guys are involved in the creation, not simply in the reinforcement of military Keynesianism, but in the centralization of power. A general campaign of power concentration, as Chalmers Johnson puts it today. And then he goes on to say that Dick Cheney complained in 2002 that since he had served as Gerald Ford's chief of staff, he had seen a significant erosion in executive power as post-Watergate presidents were forced to, quote, cough up and compromise on important principles, unquote. He was referring to such reforms as the War Powers Act of 1973, which requires that the president obtain congressional approval within 90 days of ordering troops into combat. Mr. Cheney was referring to the Budget and Impoundment Control Act of 1974, which was designed to stop Nixon from impounding funds for programs he did not like. Mr. Cheney was referring to the Freedom of Information Act of 1966, which Congress strengthened in 1974. Mr. Cheney is referring to President Ford's Executive Order 11905 of 1976, which outlawed political assassinations. And finally, the Intelligence Oversight Act of 1980, which gave more power to the House and Senate Select Committees on Intelligence. Ms. Cheney said that these reforms were unwise, quote-unquote, because they, quote, weaken the presidency and the vice presidency, unquote, and added that he and the president felt an obligation to, quote, pass on our offices in better shape than we found them, unquote. No president, however, according to Chalmers Johnson, has ever acknowledged the legitimacy of the War Powers Act, and most of these so-called limitations on presidential power had been gutted, ignored, or violated long before Cheney became vice president. Republican Senator John Sununu of New Hampshire said, quote, the vice president may be the only person I know of that believes the executive has somehow lost power over the last 30 years, unquote. Bush and Cheney have made it a primary goal of their terms in office, nonetheless, to carve executive power into the law, and the war has been the primary vehicle for such actions. John Yoo, Bush's Deputy Assistant Attorney General from 2001 to 2003, writes in his book War by Other Means, quote, we are used to a peacetime system in which Congress enacts laws, the president enforces them, and the courts interpret them. In wartime, the gravity shifts to the executive branch, unquote. Bush has claimed that he is, quote, the commander, unquote, and the, quote, decider, unquote, and that therefore he does not owe anybody an explanation for anything. Dr. Johnson, Chalmers Johnson, then goes on to discuss a September 2006 press conference where White House spokesman Tony Snow engaged in this dialogue. And I want you to listen to this very carefully if you're following what I'm saying on the air. You can find this piece, again, at harpers.org. It's entitled Chalmers Johnson, A National Intelligence Estimate for the United States. And Dr. Johnson goes on to talk about Tony Snow's performance in a September 2006 press conference. Question, isn't it the Supreme Court that's supposed to decide whether laws are constitutional or not? Answer, no, as a matter of fact, the president has an obligation to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. That is an obligation that presidents have enacted through signing statements going back to Jefferson. So while the Supreme Court can be an arbiter of the Constitution, the fact is the president is the one, the only person, who by the Constitution is given the responsibility to preserve, protect, and defend that document. So it is perfectly consistent with presidential authority under the Constitution itself, unquote. Snow was referring to the president's habit of signing bills into law accompanied by statements, quote-unquote, that according to the American Bar Association, quote, assert Mr. Bush's authority to disregard or decline to enforce laws adopted by Congress, unquote. All 42 previous U.S. presidents combined have signed statements exempting themselves from the provisions of 568 new laws, whereas Mr. Bush has to date exempted himself from more than 1,000, according to Chalmers Johnson. Then Dr. Johnson goes on to discuss failed checks on executive ambition. You know, this is something we'll get into with Michael Perutka tomorrow, who was the Constitution Party's candidate for president in 2004. Exactly what is the constitutional doctrine of the separation of powers? Exactly what is the relationship constitutionally of the federal government to the states and to the people? What is the relationship constitutionally of the government of the United States to all of these entities of the New World Order that involve world government, This is something that Chalmers Johnson does not address in this article, unfortunately, but it's something that Michael Perutka, I'm sure, will tomorrow if I ask him about it, which I will. Where does the UN come in all of this? NAFTA, GATT, the World Trade Organization, the most favored nation trading status for communist China, the so-called Security and Prosperity Partnership Arrangement for a North American Union. Where does all of that come into play in regard to the Constitution of the United States, and where we have a situation where we're not only talking about an unbridled centralization of power unlawfully in the executive branch of our government, not only at the expense of the legislation or the legislative branch of the government and the judicial branch, but also vis-a-vis the states and the people. And that centralization of power that we see in an American chief executive, how does that relate to the centralizations of power that are taking place in the entities of world government? The UN, quite clearly, is perhaps at the apex of this, but we're talking about other institutions of world globalization that threaten your political liberty and mine, on top of what Chalmers Johnson is talking about here in a more isolated sense, merely on the whole question of the unbridled ambitions of American chief executives. He goes on then to discuss these failed checks on executive ambition. The current administration's perspective on political power is far from unique, according to Chalmers Johnson. Few, if any, presidents have refused the increased executive authority that is the natural byproduct of military Keynesianism. Moreover, the division of power between the president, the Congress, and the judiciary, often described as the bedrock of American democracy, has eroded significantly in recent years. The people, the press, and the military, too, seem anxious to cede power to a quote-unquote wartime president, leaving Bush or those who follow him almost entirely unobstructed in pursuing the imperial project. Dr. Johnson then goes on to talk about Congress. They're corrupt and indifferent, he says. Congress, which the founders believed would be the leading branch of government, has already entirely forfeited the power to declare war. More recently, it gave the president the legal right to detain anyone, even American citizens without warrant, and to detain non-citizens without recourse to habeas corpus, as well as to use a variety of interrogation methods that he could define at his sole discretion to be or not to be torture. This is an interesting notion, isn't it? The idea that we have a Congress that is corrupt, it's crooked, according to Chalmers Johnson, and I think any reasonable person would conclude that that's correct on the basis of any study of the money trails as we know them as they are posted at the Federal Election Commission. Congress is corrupt. It's indifferent. It's on the take, folks. And when you look at the fact that our Congress has failed to even assert its constitutional authority in the area of declaring war, it becomes abundantly clear that the American Republic, as it was known in days and years gone by, is quite clearly dead. And what are we speaking of here? A Congress that will not exercise its rights vis-a-vis the president in regard to constitutional declarations of war. We're speaking, as Chalmers Johnson notes it here, about the fact that Congress has given the president the legal right to engage in all of these extraordinary renditions, to do so without warrants, and to detain non-citizens without recourse to habeas corpus, and to utilize surveillance techniques on American citizens that have not been granted in regard to a court warrant. Clearly, all of this is in conjunction with the fact that the president, according to our Congress, can define what is or is not torture, what is or is not in bounds for our law enforcement and intelligence agencies. All of this quite clearly is moving toward an absolute ensconcement of power in a chief executive who himself arguably is nothing more than a front person for the corporate and globalist interests who put him in that office. That's my editorial take on this. Those are not the words of Chalmers Johnson at this point, But this is where we are. And when we think about it, this whole issue of the acquiescence of Congress is involved in both indifference and corruption. What does this mean in regard to the passivity and acquiescence of the American people? Do they read anymore? Do they search for decent, legitimate news sources in alternative media? Does the public really care about its responsibilities not only to its own preservation, but its responsibilities to future generations who live in what was once known as the land of the free and the home of the brave? Or are we so corrupt and decadent at this juncture that sexual perversion and an emphasis upon professional spectator sports and other types of diversions have taken us away from a real, clear, intellectual and spiritual and moral focus on what's going on? Isn't that a part of this process, folks, in regard to the death of both the American empire first and subsequently to what we've been talking about earlier with the American Republic? We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jobs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartavite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Just a couple of housekeeping items. Had an interesting time yesterday at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in San Antonio at 130 Saipan. That's on the south side of San Antonio. I was speaking on Luke chapter 6. I'm going to be there again this week talking about other topics of biblical importance. If you are in the San Antonio area and looking for a place to catch me in terms of what I do on Sundays, you can do that at Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 130 Saipan, where we have a Sunday service at 10:30 in the morning. I wanted to mention that Michael Perutka of the Constitution Party is going to be on this show tomorrow. He was, in 2004, the Constitution Party's candidate for the presidency of the United States. I'm going to be talking with Michael about some things that have been going on in the Constitution Party in recent times, what he believes personally about Alan Keyes and the role of the Israeli lobby in regard to the foreign policy of the United States, and some of the things that have been mentioned in this Chalmers Johnson article this morning in Harper's entitled A National Intelligence Estimate on the United States. I want to take up with Michael Perutka this whole business of military Keynesianism. What does Michael Perutka believe, for example, about the role of military contractors and subcontractors in the formulation of American foreign and defense policy? He and I have never really talked about that subject before. It's one that I want to bring up with him tomorrow. What does Michael Perutka believe about the so-called unitary presidency and the failure to check chief executives in regard to the centralization of power? I have a pretty good idea as to what he'll say on those subjects tomorrow, but nonetheless, it'll be worth your while to hear his own take on that and the direction in which it has led this country since the time of Lincoln's war between the states. And then finally, this whole business of national bankruptcy and national collapse that Chalmers Johnson talks about in his new book, Nemesis, The Last Days of the American Republic. Does Michael Perutka believe that we are in those last days, or is it too late for the American Republic? Are we, in fact, observing the death of the American empire? I want to take some of that up with him tomorrow because, again, as you look at the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party, and those people still in the Republican Party that will be involved in supporting Congressman Ron Paul's efforts in the Republican presidential primaries next year, it begs the question as to whether or not any of that kind of activity is even worthwhile at this point. Will it achieve any constructive movement or any constructive change in the direction that we have seen in this country just in the last 50 years alone? Or is that wishful thinking? That's a favorite question of mine when it comes to chatting with people that are involved in the real American right or some form of it in regard to trying to decentralize these power structures, getting out of the New World Order, returning to a sound currency and getting away from fiat money, defunding these foreign wars that are not in the national interest of the people of the United States, and trying to dismantle some of these police state measures that have been undertaken, including the ones in recent years, that are unlawful and unconstitutional. Can we, through traditional political discourse and activism, engage in things that will at some point give us any degree of progress on those fronts? I don't know. I'm very doubtful. But tomorrow when we talk to Michael Perutka, the Constitution Party, who was their 2004 candidate for president, these are some of the likely topics to come up. Join us for that debate tomorrow with Mike Perutka. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Good to have you along today. See you tomorrow.